It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. The sports analyst that covers it all brings it all every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Sometimes they go into overtime. You don't want to miss these two former college football athletes, the Who Dat and Niner Gang, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Bang Bang Niner Gang.
It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is Wednesday, 7 p.m., so that means you are tuned into to Sports Talk with K-Walk, with Mr. E. Scott, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Guys, we got some good stuff for you tonight. We're going to recap Saturday's college games. We're going to recap last week's game between the Cowboys and the Bucks. Also, we're going to preview some games as well, plus my State Your Case segment, along with Mr. Eric Scott, most entertainment segment. Mr. Scott is on the line. How are you doing this evening, my brother?
Hey, I'm good, K-Walt. Looking forward to a great show tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's start off, E, man. Let's dive right into it. And last week we touched on some HBCU. I want to keep that theme going, man. You know, you being an HBCU alum and all, Grambling State. With that being said, man, give me your thoughts and opinions on the big game this past weekend, and that's Tennessee State led by Coach Eddie George. And also Jackson State, led by Coach Prime as well. Give me your thoughts on that. Looks like the Jackson State was just a little bit better than them, man. And looks like Coach Prime took Coach, gave Coach George a lesson, if you will, and in a little bit of experience that he has. But what say you about this game?
Yeah, I like I said before, I like the fact that, you know, Coach Eddie George and especially Coach Prime have brought so much attention to, you know, HBCU, because if Coach Prime wasn't at Jackson State, this game wouldn't have nearly got the pub that, you know, that it did. I just think, you know, Jackson State seemed like they were a little more prepared than Tennessee State. You know, they shook the wrinkles out after that first game, and both of Coach Prime's sons played better, and especially his son at quarterback. He played a lot better, you know, than he had in the past. But I'm just glad. I just love to see HBCU getting their just due.
Yeah, for sure. You know, looking at this and, you know, putting them on, even though it wasn't on a, you know, one of the ESPN, you know, the ESPN or ESPN2 or ESPNU or even ESPN News, I had to watch it on one of the streaming devices. But nonetheless, I got the chance to watch it, you know, through its entirety. And not only is just the game, I got to watch the band. Yeah, I think they're called the Aristocrat of Bands. I believe I'm saying that the correct way, man.
Yeah.
I mean that's
Tennessee State.
Tennessee State.
And
yeah.
Jackson State is the Sonic Boom of the South.
Hey, man, they did their thing, man. They did their thing, and hats off to ESPN for showing that, man. Because, wow, I was grooving, man. I was grooving, and you know that. I mean, that was some good stuff, man. And I just love to see that, man. Because, you know, in the first week, when we saw Jackson State and FAMU, they were on ESPN, you know, Saturday night or Sunday night. But you didn't get the bands. We talked about that before. But this week, I think they kind of heard that. I think they got the message, and they played it through its entirety. Good. Yeah.
It's a learning curve. Because, like I said, if the bands in some schools, the band is bigger than the football team.
Right.
But in even the best schools with the good football teams, the band is equally as big. You got people who come for the halftime, so that's why they're there.
Right.
And
yeah,
so
man,
if you're a fan and you're not able to go and experience it live, you definitely want to see it on television.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I'm glad I got the opportunity to see that. You know, I've seen it in the past, I should say, You know, when I was younger, wasn't really into it at that time, E, but now that we, you know, HBCU is at the forefront for the most part, you get to see the whole experience, the game, and then they just throw that in there. And they didn't disappoint, man. They did not disappoint. And so hats off to, for ESPN, to providing the viewers with the entire experience for the most part, as far as the game and then the halftime show as well. But yeah, Coach Prime looks like he he came into the game saying that he has a little bit more experience than Coach Eddie George. They're real good friends, but he said once the kickoff happened, once that ball is kicked, it's a different story. And Coach had his guy, Coach Prime had his guys ready to play, and they showed that they were superior. You mentioned his son, the quarterback there, man. I mean, he had an outstanding game, over 300 yards there, and also his son Silo as well on the defensive end wears number 21. And I just realized the quarterback. I can't pronounce his first name, but nonetheless, he wears number 2 like he did in, like Prime did with Florida State. And then we see, Shiloh, wearing number 21 like he did in the NFL. So great athletes there, E. Jackson State look good. I think we're going to see them, might see them in the SWAC championship. What say you? I know, Alabama State may have something to say about it, or South Carolina State may say have something to say about it. What say you about Jackson State and the SWAC?
Well, South Carolina State plays in the MEAC, so they're away from us. Grambling and Jackson State is a huge rivalry. And Southern and Jackson State is a huge rivalry. So I can't go ahead and crown them, after one victory over Tennessee State, who's, kind of like in a rebuild situation. We'll just have to see, how they fare against the rest of the teams in the SWAC. But, I mean, for the most part, they look good. But I'm never going to say anything bad about my Tigers.
I hear that. But they took care of business the first week against FAMU, meaning Jackson State. It was a close game. They pulled it out 7-6. FAMU is one of those big names, along with Bethune-Cookman coming into the SWAC. Knowing that victory took place, is that going to change your thoughts, or you still think that they still have a lot more to prove?
They still have a lot more to prove. The FAMU is a terrible football team. They're a good man, but they're a terrible football team. So, you don't get any credit for beating FAMU 7-6. Now, you got to do a little better than that.
Okay. Can't be mad at you there, man. Can't be mad at you there. But yeah, man, so great stuff there, man. Again, I want to implement the HBCU talk into our show, man. Again, especially with you being an alum of Grambling State, man, I just think it's only right, to give them their just due, for sure, man. So we're going to continue to talk HBCU. Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that worries me. With all that Coach Prime is doing, and I love him for it, I respect him for it, but what's going to happen when one of these PWIs come calling? And you know that they are. I mean, because they're looking right now and seeing everything that he's doing over there, they're like, hey, he can do that over here because he's a Florida State alum, and Florida State coach is about to be fired. If he wasn't fired earlier this week, his time in Tallahassee can't be that long. Now, I don't know if they will bring Coach Prime in yet, but, I mean, it's something that I'm sure there's going to be offers. I don't know if they're going to call his agent or if his agent going to call them. I'm just worried about what's going to happen when somebody like a Florida State comes calling because the calls are going to come.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And I'm curious to see that as well, man. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be enticing for him enough because he's talking a good game right now, man. He's walking the walk right now, or talking the talk, I should say. Will he walk the walk, and how long will he walk the walk as far as being an HBCU guy? So it's going to be something interesting to see. I know they're going to come knocking, man. We know that they're going to come knocking. I don't think his agent's going to go out there. I think he's going to wait for them to knock on his door, ring his doorbell, call his cell phone, whatever the case may be. Will he answer? Will he take him seriously? I don't know, man. I think he will, but I just hope he just gives it, you know, that five-year plan, if you will. Wait at least 5 years, you know, before you make that next move. Hey, listen, we got our good buddy, Mr. Alvin Shipp, holding on right now. Mr. Shipp, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this evening, my brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what up, Shipp?
Hey, what's going on, baby?
For a minute or two, you know, all is well, man. All is well. What say you, Shipp, about the HBCU talk and also the question that E just posed as far as Coach Prime possibly moving over to the you know, the PWIs and if that opportunity presents itself.
Well, this is my opinion. I think Prime knows where he needs to stay. He knows he's not a big time college football coach, and he's not gonna make himself look that bad. He knows he's out of his league trying to get into D1, you know, as far as big schools. You know, he'll learn, he'll get some experience down there first. Hopefully he will anyway. I don't think he'll make a move too early. As far as the football is concerned, you know, I told you guys last week how I feel about HBCU football. It's hard to watch for me. But, and, you know, that was a pretty good game or whatever. Jackson State did look better. But I'm with Big E. It's just one game. You know, I'm not ready to crown them those SWAC champions or even going those goats, because they, like Big E said, they struggled with FAMU, and FAMU is god awful.
Good stuff there, man. Good stuff. Yeah, so we'll shift gears a little bit here, man, and we'll start with the NFL, man. And you know, last week we were on, you know the eve before kickoff of the first game Thursday night. We'll definitely dive into the Giants game and the Washington football team as well. But let's backtrack a little bit. Let's recap, man. E, I know you kind of talked a bit on last night's show and, you know, at Sports Talk Atlanta. But for our listeners, what say you about the game on last Thursday? Were you impressed with Dak? Were you impressed with the Cowboys? What say you? And then I'll come to you, Big Shipp.
So, Shipp and I actually watched this game together last Thursday night. We went out and we watched it together. And I think we're kind of at a consensus. Dallas won almost every category except the one that counts, and that's points. They came up short in points. I think Dak looked really good. Dallas' defense, they weren't a number one defense, but they for the most part, they held their own. The problem happened when they scored that field goal late and left Tom, I think, about a minute and 45 seconds. You can't give Tom the best to do it in the two-minute drill. I mean, that's regardless of whether you like Tom or you don't like Tom. He can work that two-minute drill. And, you know, that's what it really boiled down to. I mean, I think Dak was a little timid in the beginning. Now, to me, I don't know if it's a problem with Ezekiel Elliott or if it's Kellen Moore offense that he's calling. But they weren't really feeding the ball to Zeke. And now I know you're going to say, well, when they did, he didn't do anything. But if you got Zeke back there, you got to feed him more or get something going. And then your boy CeeDee Lamb, I couldn't decide if he was the hero or the GOAT. I mean, because he's hero because he caught some really big plays. GOAT because he dropped some really big passes. But, I mean, in the end, he did his thing. But I don't know. I just need another sample. I need a bigger sample size. But to answer your question, what I saw last Thursday night, I was more impressed with Dallas than I was Tampa. Because, like I've told y'all all the while, Tom won the Super Bowl, and nothing you can do to take that away from him. But Tom did not play well in the playoffs last year. He only played well in the Super Bowl. And, I mean, I guess you can say, well, that's just like Chris Cardinal didn't score touchdowns, and I get that. But I'm saying Tampa's defense is what won them that Super Bowl, and I wasn't really impressed with Tom, but I wasn't disappointed either. Now, A.B., super impressed. That's old Pittsburgh A.B. back to top form. If he can, you know, stay out of court and stay on the field, yeah, he's going to be a problem.
Yeah, for sure, man. Great point there. I mean, Shipp, what say you?
Well, like B said, you know, we watched the game together or whatever. I wasn't impressed with Dak like Big E was, of course. But he's right about Zeke. You got a workhorse back there. You got to get this dude the ball. when I think the stat came across that Dak had thrown, what was it, 51 passes or 52 passes?
Yeah.
58 total in the game. Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster. You know what I mean, why are you having Dak throw 58 passes when you got Zeke back there? And like you say, like Biggie said, you got to establish, you got to give him the ball, you got to let him get in the rhythm. You know what I'm saying? And to me, it's like they've given up on him, but you paid him all that money. I mean, like, what are you doing, Dallas? And this is something that we talked about on your show in preseason. Like, what are they doing with that? I mean, with Zeke. I mean, when are they going to start giving him the ball? And I'm pretty sure down there in Texas, they are talking about that. Like, what is going on? You know, why aren't they giving Zeke the ball? You got to establish a running game. You can't have a guy that just came off this big surgery, you know, throwing the ball 58 times and expect to win. Don't get me wrong. You know, they almost pulled it out. But at the same time, I think, I mean, it's the first game of the season. And you know, people saying they were disappointed with Tampa Bay. We're disappointed with Tampa Bay because of, you know, what we saw from them last or whatever. We thought that they would just come out and blow Dallas out, but like you know, we're in the NFL. That don't happen, you know, whatever. Right. That just not happen when you're going to blow somebody out unless you're the Arizona Cardinals. I'm sorry, Big E, the Saints and the Packers, my bad. who that? But at the same time, you know, they got to feed Zeke the ball. They got to establish a running game, you know, and I don't know what's going on with it, but if they want to win, you know, other teams are not going to let, because I'm not impressed with Tampa Bay secondary or whatever, but then you got other teams that got a pretty decent secondary, and if that's who Dallas has to, you know, they're going to depend on Dak. They're going to lose a whole bunch of football games.
Yeah, that's rough, man. That's rough for sure. Listen, we got a good buddy as well, Mr. Tim Moore, on the line right now. I know you've been holding for a minute. Tim, appreciate you joining us this evening. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, man. My pleasure to be with you.
All right. Awesome, man. Awesome.
Welcome.
Yes, indeed. You heard the question. I know you've been on for a little bit. So give me your thoughts and opinions, or for our listeners. I know you kind of touched last night, you know, in another show, Sports Talk Atlanta. But for our listeners here, give me your thoughts and opinions, or give them your thoughts and opinions on that game between the Bucks and the Cowboys last week.
Well, you know, I was not surprised, quite honestly. I'm probably my least favorite team in the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys. But I was not surprised that they played well. I like some of their players, and they are loaded with talent. I was not surprised they played Tampa Bay, nose to nose most of the ball game. I would take a little bit different approach to being impressed with Tampa. I was impressed with Tampa because I thought, unlike some of the other games where teams made a key mistake here or there to lose the game, I thought that Tampa won the game against Dallas. But I disagree with the analysis, particularly about Ezekiel Elliott. I think he's the kind of guy that needs to have the ball 20, 25 times a game at least. And they abandoned the running game. When you get a guy like that, can carry the ball, move the clock, take some of the pressure off your passing game, you got to use him. And I don't think Dallas did that in game one the way they should have.
Yeah, great point. And let me ask you, I'm going to turn it into a two-part question as well for you, Tim. Then I'll circle back to you guys as well, Ian, Shep. Do you think that was the game plan by going to Dak and throwing the ball that much? Or do you think that was just the in-game adjustment? Because they didn't run the ball that much. They really didn't give it time to develop. But what say you, Tim, about that?
Yeah, I don't know if it was game plan or whether they got to a point where they felt like they couldn't run the ball. Because I think they tried to give Ezekiel the ball a few times early in the first quarter, and he wasn't getting any yardage. I think that it might have been a bit of a panic on the part of the offensive coordinator.
Right.
You can't stop running the ball if you're a running team just because you don't get a big yardage, in the first quarter of a ball game. You got to keep running the ball, especially
you got a guy like Ezekiel back there. And I'm not sure if it was game plan as much as the offensive coordinator just panicking.
Yeah, great point there. But, Ship, what say you? Do you think it was game planned, or you just think that it was just something that they saw, you know, in game and just made the adjustments?
Yes. But that's my hope. My whole point. You know what I mean? You can't. You got a workhorse back there. You got a star running back there. And
yeah.
I mean, they had to have, you know, had to put him into the game plan. And I'm with Floyd. You know, he panicked. Sim. He had to just abandon the running game because you didn't get a couple yards in the first quarter or whatever. I mean, not to switch over to Pittsburgh or whatever, but Najee Harris was, we had 54 yards in the first half, the whole first half, but they kept giving him the ball, and he started finding little holes or whatever. And I just believe in the NFL, if you have a decent workhorse back there, you got to keep giving him the ball so he can establish, like I said before, establish a rhythm. But as far as your question is, K-Walt, I know it had to be in the game plan for them to give him the ball, but
right.
Like my man said, they must have abandoned it because they abandoned it real early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great point there. E, what say you?
So I'm going to start here with Kellen Moore. I don't respect Kellen Moore as an offensive coordinator. I don't know why McCarthy kept him on. When they rolled Jason Garrett up out of there, they should have rolled Kellen Moore up out of there just on GP. Jason Garrett was head coach, he's your offensive coordinator. Hey, he got to go too. I mean, I'm either going to promote him to head coach, or he got to go home, but he got to get up out of here. So this is the same guy who said, oh, I can't open up my playbook fully because of the limitations of my quarterback. When he said that about Dak, one of them had to go, either him or Dak. I mean, because those are irreconcilable differences. You can't come back from that. So he says that about Dak, but now he don't want to give the ball to Zeke, and he wants Dak to throw the ball 50-plus times. I mean, make up your mind. Can you open up your playbook because of the limitations of your quarterback, or are you going to work this guy you got in the backfield? I mean, like Tim said, Zeke needs a minimum 20 to 22
yeah.
carries in that range, and that's at minimum. I mean,
yeah.
Every running back in the league is going to get stopped at the line of scrimmage. Every running back in the league is going to get stopped for a loss. But what you do is kind of like a basketball adage. Shooters keep shooting. That's what you do. I mean, you open John Starks against the Houston Rockets.
Rock.
He was one for 112, but he kept shooting. that's what you got to do. Shoot, keep shooting. But, I mean, Zeke is in a position where he doesn't control the ball. But Dak controls his fate. And then Dak is only running the plays that Kellen Moore is calling. So, I mean, I think it was in the game plan, but they abandoned it quick when it wasn't working, and they went to throwing, which I think was a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, good point there. And one of my favorite sayings when you reference the shooters, you know, the shooting aspect of it is when you're a shooter, you if you're on, you shoot. If you're off, you shoot till you're on. So yeah, I mean, great, you know, great. You know, that's what you're supposed to do, you know. So.
Hey, shooters keep shooting.
Yeah, seriously. So, I can't think that was in the game plan because of the fact of the matter is that they have of the preseason due to that shoulder injury. So for him to come in and have, if that was the game plan, then somebody like really needs to get up out of there to have Dak throw the ball 58 times coming off to the shoulder injury and also the ankle surgery as well. But they got to keep feeding that guy, man. They got to keep feeding Ezekiel. I mean, you gave him all that money, man. You gave him all that money not to just carry the ball 15 times. 14 times, whatever the number was, for 33 yards. You got to keep feeding that guy. I know Zach Martin wasn't there. They're starting guard. They're all guard there. But I still think that you can find ways to still get the ball to Ezekiel Elliott and allow him to do what he does best. So, So it's questionable for me. I had to pose that question because, you know, we got some Cowboys fans out there. They were impressed with Dak. They were impressed with the performance. it's more of a moral victory for these guys right now than anything else. But I just want to get your thoughts and opinions on that. Guys, what we're going to do here is we're going to grab our first break. When we come back, we're going to sit on the NFL talk, and I want to talk about your boy, Shep. I want to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and that game against the Bills. You know, I'm eating crow today, man, because I picked against your boys, but we'll definitely talk about that, guys. So, again, guys, tune in to Sports Talk with K Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Daquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel I. Reef, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott. They're taking a quick break, and they'll be right back.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin, you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California, that's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah, badass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah, yeah, that's it. And I see you, oh, the way I breathe you in. It's the texture of your skin. I wanna wrap my arms around you, baby, never let you go.
And we are back. And again, you are tuning in to Sports Talk with Kay Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking HBCU. We were talking the Cowboys and Bucks. I want to stay on the NFL talk. And Chip, I want to start with you on this one, brother, and because, you know, I know you're a diehard Steelers fan. And, you know, that game, man, went the total opposite way than I thought it was going to go. I thought the outcome was – I thought the score would be the score, but I just thought that it would be the Bills on top, man. So, first and foremost, let me apologize to Steelers Nation and you as well, Chip. What say you about this game, and Chip, and how do you see the Steelers going forward as well?
Well, I got some hot sauce for that crow, but it's all good, you know. Yeah, it tastes a little bit better with some hot sauce there, Kato. But I'm be honest with you, you know, I think you know, and it was the rest of the, you know, the whole football world, you know, people don't realize that, and don't get me wrong, I love Mike Tomlin or whatever, and what his reputation is, I told you before, the games that we are supposed to lose, I mean win, we lose. The ones where people are knocking on us and saying, oh, ain't a way y'all going to beat them, those are the ones we're going to win. Tomlin is going to make sure he has them ready for the big game. It's just something about him. He's going to be ready for the big game. You know what I mean? Now, as far as the offensive line is concerned, we got a long way to go as far as the offensive line. But I think what people underestimate it and so many people continue to do is underestimate the defense. Pittsburgh's defense has been top five for the last 5 years. You know, they've led the league in sacks for the last 3 years. That's with the Rams and Aaron Donald over there. They've led the league in sacks. So, you know, and not saying that, you know, oh, that should just they, you know, people still should say, you know, say that they're going to just win the game because everybody thinks Buffalo is a contender. But I think with J.J. Watt coming back and, you know, and then the way they looked against Buffalo last year, because they played Buffalo tough last year until then through the pick or whatever. And also, K-Walk, Big E, Ben looked like garbage again. Let's not lose that in this fray or whatever. He got away with some bad passes. Yeah, he made a few plays or whatever. But if you go back and look at the game, he overthrew a lot of passes. The one where Najee was right there in front of the end zone, he was gonna walk into the end zone. Ben rolled to his right with Najee,
and overthrew him. How does that happen? But, you know, it's and like Biggie said, it was one game. It's one game. You know what I'm saying? We got the Raiders coming up. We, you know, the Raiders look, the defensive line looked pretty stout the other day. I mean, last night or whatever. I mean, Monday night. So let's see, you know, let's put a couple, you know, pepperonis on a pizza before, you know, we go ahead and, you know, crown them. But I was really impressed with them. You know, you're not the only one that went against them because, you know, I went back and looked at, you know, all of the experts. Man, everybody had Buffalo. Everyone had Buffalo. Biggie, who did I pick on my pool, though? And that's all I got to say.
You had Pittsburgh. But you know, to be fair, Ship, you pick Pittsburgh every week for the last 10 years. I mean, so what are you saying?
No, Biggie, but you know that, you know, if I have any doubt, because you'll say, Ship went against Pittsburgh? Oh, no, I know I'm going against Pittsburgh. That's, you know, that's a heads up. But no, I had a little confidence in him because of the defense and like I said, when people are just like giving us no chance, he coaches his best game.
Yeah, good
now,
stuff there.
I will say this, Ship, and you brought it up, you touched on it briefly. But what I was going to put out to the group is being cooked. I mean, because like you said, y'all won the game. But Ben reminds me of, like, me watching Drew Brees last year because it was obvious Drew was cooked. He couldn't throw the ball no more than 10, 15 yards down the field. Now, Ben can still throw it a little farther, but he just don't look like the Ben of old.
Oh, yeah, Ben. He's not. I mean, they're still trying to hide it. And to his defense, everybody knows, one thing about it is he's learning a brand new offense. We're learning a brand new offense right now, so you know the offense isn't really clicking or whatever. But I just think when you the passes that a professional quarterback should be able to make, he wasn't making them again. Now, and like I said, he made some good passes, he made some good throws that were pretty decent or whatever. But like I just don't see the deep throw, I don't see the deep ball, and you know it's really you can just eyeball it. You know what I'm saying? And now, what's going to happen this year is, you know, with a new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada is a better offensive coordinator than the bum we had last year. So, you know, he'll be able to make some adjustments if the defenses start catching up before they get the offense, you know, clicking, you know, getting the engine running.
Yeah, good stuff, Chip. Tim, what say you about that Steelers-Bills game?
I was surprised, quite honestly, but I was expecting it to be a good competitive football game. Pittsburgh, I mean, the Steelers are one of the most consistent franchises in the NFL, and you can never really count them out year. I mean, they just have a knack of being there every year. And Buffalo, I think, while they've got a lot of talent, they had a great season last year. They're still learning to win. I think you know, the previous brother hit it right on the head, Shep, that Ben, to me, I don't know if he's shot or he just looked like he doesn't have that enthusiasm, that love for the game that he once had. He just seemed like he was going through the motions to me because they need him. And I don't know how far that's going to take you, particularly in the division that they're in. They're in perhaps the best division in football this year with the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, and even the Cincinnati Bengals look good. You know, he's going to have to play better if they're going to really make some noise and get into the playoffs this year. But Buffalo, you know, it's just one game. They'll be there. They'll learn to win.
Yeah, for sure. And I have to agree with you. I mean, it was surprising to me. I really had the Bills, you know, penciled in because of, you know, all of the, you know, the hype. I guess I bought into the hype, you know, with Josh Allen, you know, coming into his own. Big contract in the NFL MVP talks, you know, as well MVP talks, excuse me. And then he has some really great weapons as well. you know, with Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders. He has Austin Singletary running the ball as well. That offensive line pretty decent, and that defense as well. So I really thought that the Bills was going to take, just go off this season. I know it's only one game. You know, we can't get too high, can't get too low for any team for that matter. But it showed a lot of character for the Steelers for sure, man. I mean, and it was, you know, with Mike Tomlin and those guys, they were reading the papers, you know that. They were looking at social media, hearing all the hype, and like Shipp said earlier, all of the so-called experts, you know, picked the Bills straight across the board. And, I'm pretty sure that was some extra added motivation, for them. Not that they should have needed it, but I think that it helped there. But I think both will bounce back. I think the Bills will bounce back, and I think the Steelers. Well, we're going to see how the Steelers, respond, and, to this win, and they can keep it rolling. Good. But E, what say you? What say you, E, about this game? I know you didn't give your full thoughts on the game. What say you about this?
Well, I mean, I did. I was a naysayer. I picked Buffalo. But me picking Buffalo had more to do with how I thought Josh Allen was going to do as opposed to how I thought Pittsburgh was going to do. I mean, I really thought that Buffalo was the team that could possibly give Kansas City a run for their money. But I looked past Pittsburgh, and I see that was a mistake. I mean, Ben looks like he's cooked. But for the most part, the rest of the team were like, they can come through. So, I expect good things from Pittsburgh. And Buffalo, I don't know. I hope they bounce back. I don't know if they will, but hopefully, they'll get it together over there because, Josh, like, when you hear the media guys, when they talk about Lamar Jackson, they're like, oh, the league is figuring him out. He can't do the league is figuring him out. Why they never say the league is figuring out Josh Allen? I mean, because Josh Allen had one of the worst NFL seasons a quarterback could have, and then the very next year, it was like baseball. Like, he started taking steroids. Like, last year, he hit 2 home runs. This year, he hit 50. I mean, that's how big of a gap it was between the 2 seasons he had. I mean, I'm not saying he's taking steroids. I'm just saying it for comparison. But I don't ever hear them say, oh, they figured Josh Allen out, or they're going to figure Josh Allen out. I don't hear them say they're going to figure out Baker Mayfield, or they figured out Baker Mayfield. It always comes down to the pigmentation of certain players that they say, oh, they figured him out. Because they think, when you have a player like Lamar, that they think he's run first and pass second. And, I mean, that may be true, but, I mean, he's winning football games, and I think that the objective is to win football games. But as far as the Steelers game go, like I said, my onus was more on Buffalo than it was Pittsburgh. I kind of looked past Pittsburgh because, I'm one of them dudes that think it's over for Ben. But, hey, obviously he got something left in the tank.
Yeah, for sure, man. So, yeah, definitely hats off to them, man. I'm going to see how they, they bounce back this weekend, going forward, Mike Tomlin, see if they keep that focus and just not get lost in that. Listen, guys, we got a caller here that's been holding for quite some time. Caller ending in 8360. State your name and what you want to talk about.
Hi, my name is Melvin, and I want to switch gears a little bit, if we can.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Hey, I didn't catch that.
He said he wanted to switch gears if we can. You're not going to the call before about the Jets, are you?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm a big Ohio State fan.
Okay.
Oh.
And I watched that game with
here
Oregon.
We go.
I wasn't very impressed, but, that game was, the new C.J. Stroud, the new quarterback was Ohio State, I think he's good. I noticed in the pocket. When he gets rushed, I feel like he panics. I'm not sure if you watch the game, but it's almost like he panics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's young. Yeah, he's definitely young. Yeah, he's a young player, and he's he's that's going to come. You know, it comes with experience. You know, when you're young and you're coming from high school and you're dealing with the Big Ten, and especially, you know, with that defense, that Oregon has, you look at that, you look at that pass rush first and foremost. I mean, that's what your eyes automatically focuses on. And, you know, I think he'll ultimately, he'll settle down. And, Coach Day will make sure that, he's right. And where he puts him in a situation where he doesn't have to, as you stated, panic and doesn't have to worry about, that rush. I don't know if anyone want to add anything on to that, E, Tim, or Ship.
Yeah, Kevin, I don't place that loss on the shoulders of young CJ. I think the Oregon offensive line dominated Ohio State's defensive line in that ball game.
Yeah.
They pushed him up and down the field the whole day.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Hey, did you want to add anything to it, Ship? You want to add anything on to that?
I don't know how strong your guts are, boss, but I'm going to tell you right now, Ohio State is starting to fall apart, bro. You got it. You know, I know you love them or whatever, but they're not the team that they used to be. When Exo was there and all that, they've been on a steady decline. Once they got Urban Meyer, you know what I'm saying? It's just not the same or whatever. Oregon manhandled Ohio State. I mean, even you know what I'm saying? And it's starting to be, when they get into the big dance and the big show now, you know, they're not the same Ohio State. Yeah, even the Big Ten is starting to keep up with Ohio State. The games are closer. You know, with Ohio State, you were in a couple of years ago, they were winning by 40, 50. You know, it wasn't even a game. And now you have to watch the entire game now. You have to watch the entire game because the strength of that team, the power of that team that they had a few years ago is just not the same. You know, I mean, I don't know if they're not getting the same type of athletes or what it is, or if it's the coaching, but you know, even, and the offense that, like I said, they were getting the best offensive linemen out there. And like I said, it seems like the Big Ten has even caught up with it. And when you start talking about Indiana has caught up with Ohio State, you know what I'm saying? That's pretty bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even Minnesota should have beat them the first game. I mean, the first game Minnesota had them or whatever, but you know, Ohio State pulled out, but that's my point. You know, that didn't happen before. Penn State,
right.
I mean,
yeah,
Ohio State, you know.
Justin Fields is playing for them. You know what I mean? I think they're a better team.
Right. I mean, but you know, they're still going to be Ohio State, though. It's just now.
I mean, it's still early
in the season, think
so. You know.
Right. Still got to
exactly
those things. So you know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and that's how you got to look at it. It's early, but E, did you have something to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm gonna co-sign what Ship said. But here's the thing with Ohio State. And here's why, the point that Ship made, I think this is why it's happening. It's recruiting. If you go all the way back to Jim Tressel, Jim Tressel was able to recruit outside of Ohio. He was able to recruit in the South. When you brought in Urban Meyer, he was able to recruit in the South. If you don't have a big-name dude at Ohio State, he's really only able to recruit in the Midwest. Well, not only in the Midwest, but he's not able to come down and get players from down here. Like, look how good Louisville became when Charlie Strong went there, because he was able to recruit from the Miami area, Miami Northwestern. He was getting guys up there like Teddy Two Gloves and all those guys. So recruiting plays a big factor in, you know, what you do. And like Ship said, you got the Big Ten that has caught up to Ohio State, and then if they're not going to be the best in the Big Ten, it's going to be tough for them to beat schools outside of there simply because of recruiting. They're not getting the athletes that they used to get, because if Florida State is calling you, Florida, LSU, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, it's going to be tough for Ohio State to come down here and get those guys. that they could get when they had Urban Meyer, when they had Jim Tressel. So I think that's where the fall off is coming. And like you said, you've seen a slow decline over the years. If they don't get a guy in there who can recruit Southern players, I think that decline is going to continue.
All right. Yep. I mean, they beat Oregon last year, you know what I mean? And it wasn't really a...
Well, ain't nobody going to Oregon either. I mean, Oregon's not a recruiting juggernaut. Yeah, ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. I mean, if you got a chance to go anywhere else, why are you going to Oregon? No, dog. So, I'm just saying. Because
the uniforms look good. Because the uniforms look good. That's why you go to Oregon.
So, it's just like, I said about Lamar Jackson. They figured Lamar Jackson out. People have figured out Ohio State.
I didn't see that
on the schedule either. But yeah, good stuff. I'm sorry, your name again, caller? I apologize. I know you gave that to the beginning.
Oh, my name is Melvin.
Melvin, okay. All right. Thank you so much for calling, man. And feel free to continue to listen to the show, man. And we're just going to switch gears a little bit. And we definitely appreciate you listening and calling in as well. Appreciate that. Okay. Thank you so much, man. Good stuff there, guys, man. I mean, that was actually on my list of things to talk about tonight. So thank you, Melvin, for calling in and talking about that. It is the Oregon Ohio State game. I think that, you know, propelled Oregon to top five top five status.
I don't mean to cut you off. What Big E was talking about is about going down and to get the Southern players or whatever. When Alabama played Miami the other day, most of their starting lineup was from Florida. I was, and don't get me wrong, I'm from Florida. I was amazed how many players that he has on that roster from the state of Florida. You know what I'm saying? And that's really, really, being down Florida, I want to say, oh yeah, that's good. Oh, he got all his players from Florida, but no, that's not good. That means you're not. That's why Florida State. It's garbage now. That's why Miami is garbage now. You know what I'm saying? The only team that's sticking, that's really holding their own as far up against Urban Meyer. I mean, Nick Saban is Florida, and that's because they got the SEC talk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't for that, I don't even think they would get Florida. Florida would be keeping up and just. What Big E was saying, if you got a recruit coach that can come down to the state of Florida and take the kids out of the state, you know what I'm saying? And look at, of course, he's built a powerhouse, and he's doing it off these kids down south or whatever, even the ones that he grabs from Louisiana and Texas and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And that's what it's about, man. I mean, you talk about those big-time schools, I mean, big-time states, and you talk about Florida. When you hear the schools you want to, you want to go to or the state that you want to recruit from, Texas, Florida, those are the two names that are up there, man. And Alabama is right there, man. And I just don't know what it is about Nick and what he's able to do, but the resume speaks for itself, man. And winning, attracts. Those kind of guys, man. I mean,
Nick is like John Calipari. Calipari. He's able to come in your living room and tell your mama, hey, if you let him come play for me, I can get him next level. If he's a receiver, a running back, or a defensive back, I can get him from Saturdays to Sundays. So that really helps
Facts.
Me. And he can prove it. I mean, this ain't just lip service. When he says it, he got a whole, like Nino Brown said, if I'm going down, I'm taking a whole list of people with me. And he got a list of players that he can pull out. And so if your son is looking at Ohio State, and Nick's in your living room, your dad ain't even saying that. He's just looking at you like, boy, I wish you would.
Yeah.
I wish you would. And so, but now when you had Urban Meyer at Ohio State, because Urban Meyer proved himself in the South, it's now a conversation. But I don't even know who coaches Ohio State. But whoever this dude is, he doesn't have a shot at out recruiting Nick. Not down here.
Good stuff. No, Tim, what, you have anything to add on to that? I'm sorry.
No, I disagree with slightly, but I generally agree. They don't. I think they recruit well, but it is still the remnants of Urban Meyer. I mean, they're a top three recruiting class every year. But they played an Oregon team this year that was – you have to think about it. Their coach, Mario Cristobal, was an offensive tackle on those great Miami teams, won two national championships while he was there, and then played pro ball. He's got a tough mentality. Huh? And offensive line play is what his teams do.
You ain't gonna get
and they just pushed. They just pushed Ohio State
sure
around.
Sure, we can. I'm here. Is that what you want to do?
They beat them up front, and that's what I think the difference was. And I don't think Ohio State's done, but I think in terms of the playoffs, they're a long shot now because UCLA and Oregon are back in the mix now.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, good stuff there, man. And, I don't know, man. It's just the Ohio State. It just seems like they pump out these big-name school. I mean, the big-name players. You know, we see Justin Fields out there. We see, you know, Trey Sermon, you know, with the with the 49ers. Obviously, you got Chase Young out there. You got Nick Bosa as well. And the list just goes on. And obviously, we were talking about Ezekiel Elliott, you know, earlier as well. So they are doing a good job of recruiting, and it's, you know, it's not getting those, you know, I just think they're getting quality guys. It's just not a quantity of those guys. It's not enough of those guys. And right. But Coach O'Day, I think Coach O'Day is doing a good job, man. You know, I still think this young kid Stroud is going to be all right. You know, he's young, and I think that just came to him. That Oregon game just came to him a little too fast. He wasn't prepared for that, you know, mentally.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, but I think that he'll definitely, you know, he'll definitely improve upon that. And, I think we'll start to see here and see Ohio State make some big noise as well. Guys, what we're going to do here is we're going to grab our next break. We'll pay some bills here. And then when we come back, I want to, you know, shift gears and go back to the NFL talk. And I want to talk some, couple games also that took place on Sunday. We want to talk some Chiefs Browns, what we can expect out of the Browns, what did that game mean to them, and your thoughts on that. Plus, we'll dive into tomorrow night's game between the Giants and the Washington football team, and so much more, guys. Again, you are tuning in to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? This is Kenny B. Winning from GoBo, Go Black Owned on Facebook and Instagram. You are listening to Sports Talk with my dudes, Kay Walker, Eric Scott, and they'll be right back.
CampLyman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We build from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get offs, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLyman.com.
And we are back. And again, you are tuning to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Before the break, we were talking some college football and some NFL as well. Want to switch gears here, guys. And E, I'm going to start with you on this one. And I want to talk about this Browns game and the Chiefs game, the Browns and Chiefs games, excuse me. And, you know, I thought this was most going into this, I thought besides my 49ers playing, I thought this was definitely one of the games I was most interested in watching. It didn't disappoint for me. But what say you about this game, and what do you take out of this? Was that more the Chiefs or just the Browns being the Browns? What say you? I think E might be on mute.
I was. No, I thought it was a very good game. But now I was saying the whole game because it was on, you know, while I was out watching football, and I'm saying the Browns got to go ahead and finish them. You can't let Patrick Mahomes hang around. He's not the type of dude that you can, you know, kind of let hang around. And they failed to finish him, and you know they can't. And came to the Cannon back and won the game because Cleveland was winning most of the game. And they looked good on all sides of the football. But when you got a player like Patrick Mahomes on the ropes, hey, dog, unless you Ali pulling the rope a dope, you got to go ahead and knock him out.
Good stuff, Jim. But, Tim, what say you?
I agree. I think, actually, Cleveland was better than Kansas City. I think they're a better team than Kansas City. But I agree with my man. He was saying, you know, you got to take them out when you get the lead because they dominated the game. I mean, they were in control of the game the whole way. But you got to put those guys away when you get a chance. You can't have your punter in a crucial point when you get a chance in the last 2 minutes of the game to put the ball down in the far end of the field and make Patrick Mahomes drive the entire field. You can't drop the ball and give him the ball on the 30-yard line.
I mean, right.
You can't do that against those guys. Because they're not that much better.
Y'all remember the game Mortal Kombat? Finish him. Hey, you got to finish him, dog.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, good stuff. Shit, what say you about this game?
Well, let me say this. Cleveland is a way better football team than they have been in the past year. I'm not going to take anything from them. But I am going to say this, though. Kansas City plays like that every game. They will let you hang around. They will let you hang around. I mean, just look at the playoff games, their last few playoff games. Look at Houston or was it Tennessee? Thought they had them beat, and they came back and beat them. I mean, when they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, they were down each game, like by multiple scores, and they came back and won every time. You know what I'm saying? So it was a surprise to me that they would come back and win. But I just don't think nobody finishes. No one finishes them. You know, Tampa Bay did in the Super Bowl. But 9 times out of 10, man, once, you know, if they're in within two touchdowns, usually Mahomes and like I say all the time, Andy Reid and Sean Payton are the best play callers that they are. Their playbook has got to be tall as the Empire State Building. Because man, they can pull plays out, and not only that, I do think his team goes into the backyard. I think they start playing sandlot football because that pass that he threw to Tyreek Hill, that's playground football. That's playground football. That you don't draw that up. You know what I mean? You don't put that in the playbook. They drew that up in the sand. Just do what I need you to do. Be there. The ball is coming. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of football Kansas City plays. Once they get down, that's my opinion. That's the way I've always felt about them, that they have the athletes because if there's no one person that you can just watch, Travis Kelce is like, bro, he's like one of the best players in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? He's right up. When they had a top 100, Travis Kelce can be in the top 5 every year. This dude is unstoppable. You know what I mean? And then they got Tyreek Hill, Mahomes. It's not even fair. It's not even fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, good stuff there, man. Yeah, I didn't appreciate you bringing up the old stuff, though, with my 49ers losing the way they did in the Super Bowl, but it's all good. You got me back for picking against the Steelers last week. But I'm all right now, though.
But you
man.
See
I
my point,
therapy.
Though, right? You see
no,
my
no,
point?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's how they play, man. That's just how they play. It's like, you know, it's just like, you know, I listened to a couple of shows which you say when your team went to the state championship, you wasn't worried. You know, you knew y'all were down or whatever, but you say you were never worried because you knew no one could beat you. And that's just I think that is the same mentality that the Kansas City Chiefs have. I just think that's the way they are, man. That's the way they play.
I definitely can't argue with you there. Man. You want to make that reference. But, Tim, go ahead. Yeah, you want to say something?
No, he makes a good point because they did this to Cleveland in the playoffs last year. Cleveland was in control of that game last year in the playoffs against Kansas City, and they Baker threw an interception late in the game, and the next thing you know, the Chiefs are in the end zone. You know, so it makes a good point. They do play like that.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Listen, we got one more call that's been holding on for a minute. Let me bring them in. And caller ending in 6130. State your name and what you want to talk about. I guess they disconnected, so I guess they just wanted to listen. So with that being said, man, good stuff there, man. What I want to do, because I'm going in order here, and you know, I'm kind of, you know, on the clock here, you know, against the clock. So I definitely want to circle back to college football, if you will. I want to talk about Texas and Arkansas, and I'll start with you on this one. You know, Texas is along with Oklahoma, you know, they have submitted and been accepted into the SEC. So they lost to Arkansas this past Saturday. I mean, not only did they lose, they got blown out. And we're talking about Arkansas. You know, we talk about Arkansas. You know, and if you look at the SEC, man, I mean, I think you can name maybe eight teams before you get to Arkansas. Do you think really ready for the SEC play? What say you, E?
No, not at all. Like on your show from last night when I came on and I said, okay, you can break the SEC down, and I know Shipp is going to love this because he tells me that all the time. You really only got the top tier in the SEC are like three teams, and they kind of rotate. But I'm going to go like you got Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Auburn, over on one side of the ball on the SEC, and then you got on the other side, you got Vanderbilt, you got Kentucky, you got Missouri, and you got Arkansas. Ain't nobody checking for Arkansas. So you want to come and play in the SEC, and they put you against Arkansas, and Arkansas beat the brakes off of you. I mean, come on, dog. That's just letting you know you're not ready for what goes on over here. And like Chip says all the time, like I said, he said there's only about three or four really, really good teams over there. But if you can't beat Arkansas, you don't even get an invitation at all. I mean, you're not even a top 10 contender. What makes you think you can get a title shot?
For sure. For sure. I'd say, what say you about this?
I don't disagree with E at all. I think he's dead on. You know, you're coming in and playing a middle of the pack SEC team. And
no, not middle, not middle, but bottom. bottom.
Right.
middle is being generous. No, you damn near playing Vanderbilt in Kentucky.
Ain't nobody
checking for Arkansas.
Right, that's right. Yeah, and you know, when Texas can't, you can't even play with those guys, you got a problem coming into that league.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you—that's what you stand up for, and with them and Oklahoma, like I stated, you know, on several occasions, is that, you know, they pretty much, like Oklahoma, I know Oklahoma pretty much had a clear path to the Big 12 championship, and then you know you throw Texas in there, and Texas, I'm not saying their path was, you know, it's just as clear as Oklahoma, but they had a really good chance of being in the Big 12 championship. But if you go in there and you have to stomp with the big dogs, you know, you got to beat the Arkansas. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, going into a dogfight, and I'm definitely not talking about getting blown out by them. You know, you got to really say, listen, you know, this is our application. We're filling this out. You know, now we're going to bring you in for an interview. That was pretty much their interview. It doesn't look like, you know, if this was an interview process, I don't think they'll get a second interview, in my opinion.
I think you're right. And if you look at the geography of the SEC, when they come in, they're probably going to put Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC West. And that's where LSU and those guys are.
Yeah.
That's going to be trouble.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I believe Alabama's over there. No, Alabama's in Alabama's in the West too.
Alabama's over there, yeah.
Yeah, Alabama, because Florida's over in the East. LSU and Missouri, yeah, and all, and Georgia's in the East, yeah.
Big bad Arkansas over there.
Good point there, man. Shipp, what say you about this?
Hey, just like what Biggie said, just like when you got you got some in the playground and somebody want to beat up on me, and I say, man, you ain't even worried about that person. I let my little sister fight you. You know what I'm saying? Here, you go fight him.
or whatever. If you could beat my little sister, then you could beat me. If you came, which I already know he ain't getting ready to beat my little sister, so he ain't got a chance to come to fight me. So that's the same thing that the SEC said. Go fight, go play Arkansas. Hey, they better be glad it wasn't Vanderbilt. Then they really wouldn't be able to get it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, it's one of those things too. And like Biggie said, you got the brakes beat off you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you it's all about, you know, the big guys. All it's all about money to them, but yeah. It's about football in the Southeastern Conference. It's about football, and you know, even though, like I say all the time, you know, you got about six teams over there, maybe five teams over there, but hey, if you're gonna be in this league, you gotta beat somebody worth you getting a chance to come into the league. Now, they probably still gonna let Texas and Oklahoma in there, but Big E, you've been an SEC man all your life. Do you want Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC? That's the question I've always wanted to ask people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't want Missouri. I mean,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
Hey,
yeah.
If we gonna let Texas rest on their laurels, like if we gonna look back at the Vince Young days, my answer would be yes. But if we gonna get these dudes that got the brakes beat off them by Arkansas, my answer is no. And then like Kay Watkins pointed out several times, Oklahoma had a straight path to the. If there was gonna be a Big 12 school in the playoff, no matter what format you use, we go BCS.
Right.
BS, staff record label crew, whatever. If we're gonna have a Big 12 championship, more than likely it was going to be Oklahoma. Why would you want to jump over to the SEC? And well, like I said, ain't nobody checking for Arkansas, and they just beat the brakes off Texas.
Yeah, that and you got to ask yourself, what is that about, man? And you know. I don't know if it's – I don't want to use this word, man, but I just feel like it's kind of like with Texas. Oklahoma, I think they'll hold their own. Texas, you just don't know what you're going to get with them. And the word that I'm talking about is dilute. I don't want them to dilute the SEC because we have – like we stated, you know, like you stated, we have – you know, I mean, I say we because I'm a Florida Gator fan, so that's why I'm using – that's why I'm using
oh,
we.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a Gator fan. So, you know, you have the you have the Arkansas, you have the Kentuckys, you know, you have the Vanderbilt, you know, like E mentioned. And if you're going to come in there and, you know, you're
and the Tennessee and the Mississippi State and the Ole Miss, don't stop. Don't
no,
stop.
No, no, no. I'm saying
don't stop.
Exactly. Right. And you're going to name a bunch of schools before you even get to Arkansas. And we're not even talking about any, you know, now not even unless we're going in alphabetical order, you're not going to mention. No, you're not going to talk about Arkansas. you know what I mean? You're really not going to talk about
order.
There in the beginning, right? Unless you know, in the beginning of the conversation, there's not going to be there. But yeah, so with that being said, man, I mean, it's a good transition because what I want to talk about, and I'm kind of this is my state your case. I know I had a different state your case, but I want to switch it up a little bit. Tim, I'll start with you on this one, and we talk about the SEC big matchup this weekend between Alabama and Florida. Give me your thoughts on this. How do you see this game playing out? They're in the swamp. Keep that in mind. They're playing the game in the swamp. The crowd is lively. You got a young kid, Emory Jones, who's a starter, and then you got Anthony Richardson, the young freshman there as well. How do you see this game being played out, Tim?
Well, you remember last year in the SEC championship game,
mm-hmm.
Florida
yeah.
played Alabama about as well as anybody played them all season.
Yeah.
But then when you think about that, they had Kyle Trask and Pitts.
Pitts,
yeah. So and they don't have those guys this year.
Right.
I think Florida's got a lot of great athletes, and they'll probably keep the game pretty competitive. At least into the third quarter. If they can go into the fourth quarter within a touchdown, I think we got a ball game. We got a real good ball game. But I'm expecting Alabama to win this. I think Florida's got to hold them very close. They can't afford to get behind by a couple of touchdowns against this Alabama team, or they'll get walked out of the stadium.
Yeah, great point there. Great point. Hey, what say you? You're an SEC guy, LSU there. What say you about this matchup? State your case.
Alabama by at least 2 touchdowns, possibly 3. It's just that they just reload and reload and reload and retool, and it's kind of like your old State Your Case segment, what you were about the names versus the name on the front of the jersey versus the name on the back of the jersey. And Alabama, it don't really matter what the name on the back of the jersey is. It's just the name on the front. Just somehow Nick Saban is able to recruit and put together, you know, I mean, you got to bring your super A game to beat Alabama. So, I mean, I can't completely count Florida out because I don't really know how they look against a ranked opponent, but there will be a test, and it's not a pop quiz. There will be a lengthy exam where you need to write an essay-style exam on Saturday. Uh-huh. So the test is on.
Yeah, and it's worth 50% of your grade. So, yeah, good point there, man.
No, 95%
sure, man,
of your grade. Because if Florida wins this,
okay,
one,
wow,
they can write
okay
their own ticket. Yeah, they can write their
all
own
right
ticket.
All right, good stuff, Dave. Shit, what say you about this Florida State – I mean, excuse me, Florida-Alabama game, state your case.
Well, I'm with Big E. I think 3 touchdowns. I watched Florida against South Florida or whatever. They were the better team, but at the same time, your defense looks weak to me. I watched them play Florida and Atlantic, and I wasn't impressed. And like I said, you know, I'm not just here to beat them up or whatever because I don't like them. But they have lost a lot of weapons. They have lost a lot of weapons, some valuable weapons. Now, let's go to Anthony Richardson and Emory Jones. I think Richardson is a better quarterback. But I also think that they don't have a choice anymore because Anthony Richardson pulled his hamstring running that touchdown Saturday when he ran for, I don't know, 50 or 60 yards. He ended up pulling the hamstring at the end.
Yeah.
So I think they've kind of messed that up or whatever. I don't think Emory Jones is ready to play Alabama. I think Anthony Richardson was ready and is ready. I think he's the best quarterback, and that's gonna make a big difference or whatever. Emory Jones, he doesn't make good decisions, and you have to make the right decisions against Alabama. South Florida didn't even really put pressure on him, and he still was making bad decisions. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna say Alabama by at least 3 touchdowns because unless Anthony Richardson is gonna be able to go and actually have an impact on the game, Emory Jones, he's not going to be ready.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, Shemp, for sure, man. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, both nails on the head, if you will, talking about Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. He, meaning Emory Jones, he has to be quicker. He has to be more decisive with his, with his releases, man. And I stated it last week. You know, if you can't make that throw, or if you wait that long against, South Florida, then you're playing Alabama next week. They're going to house that. They're going to take that to the house every single time. So you got to be quicker. You got to be more decisive. Don't hold the ball. If the receiver's not looking, just hit him in the back of the helmet with the ball. You know, just don't give the defense a chance to pick it off and possibly to return it for a touchdown. So Emory Jones is going to be good from what I'm hearing. Anthony Richardson is going to be good to go, but we'll see how that goes because, hamstrings are, one of those things that you don't want to mess with. Very delicate, part of your body, especially when you're an athlete such as Anthony Richardson. So very interested to see how that's going to I'm rooting for my Gators. I'm not going to give a score because I'm like you, Shipp, when it comes to your Steelers. I'm not picking against them. I'm not going to do that. But I will be there watching, and I will be cheering for sure. If they pull it out, I'll be ecstatic. If they lost, I wouldn't be surprised, man. I wouldn't, because Alabama is a stacked football game, a stacked football team for sure, man. And it's going to be interesting to see, man, because that young kid, Bryce Young, is something special as well. What I want to do, guys, is I want to add a little bit to this. We kind of touched this on it last night, but Shipp, I'll start with you on this, and I'm going to make another state your case, man. How do you feel about the names on the back of these jerseys? Coach Prime from the Coach Prime Sanders from Jackson State has come out and said that these kids should have their names on the back of their jerseys, you know, to represent their family names. You know, the grandmothers want to see it, their mothers, so forth and so on. What say you about this? State your case on this. Should they have their names on the back of their jerseys?
Most definitely, most definitely. I'm gonna tell you something. What I always thought about teams not having the names on the back of their jersey. Every time, and it goes from Pop Warner all the way up. I always thought that if I went to a game and the team didn't have the name on the back of their jersey, I thought that team was cheap. That's what I thought. I always thought that way. That means I don't get to keep my jersey at the end of the year. That means you're cheap. But at the same time, when you start talking about your name and just what Prime, you know, that right there means so much to a player, an athlete. My name on the back. Prime hit it right. That's me. That's my family. And not only that. Let's go to the business side of it. When somebody goes to the football game or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You got recruiters. They don't want to just know your number. They want to know your name on the back of your jersey. You know what I'm saying? You go to the NBA. You go to the NFL. You go to the Major League Baseball. Everybody has their name on the back of their jersey. Even in the NCAA, that's important. That's important to that kid's character. That's important to the team. It's important to as far as the business side. I just think that, and I'm even for it. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know Pop Warner. They can't afford that. But I remember when I played football my first year in junior high school. We got our jerseys, and I actually said, when we gonna get our names put on the back of our jerseys? And my coach looked at me and was like, boy, if you don't get out of here, you know what I'm saying? So it's something that you see. When you're little, when you see, you know what I'm saying, that's just something that it just comes with the territory. So I'm all for the name on the back of the jersey. It might that the reason I gave might not be, you know, the perfect reason, but I just think that if you're playing organized sports, your name deserves to be on the back of the jersey, unless you're, you know, a league that, you know, if that, you know, that they paid the people. It's kids where I got to turn to my jersey because we can barely survive, that kind of thing. But other than that, yeah, the name should be on the back of the jersey.
Yeah, great point there. Sam, what say you about this?
I think Prime makes a good point. I personally don't think too much about that, but I think he makes a good point in terms of this being – the last opportunity a lot of these kids are going to have to play in front of large crowds because, let's face it, a lot of these guys are not going to make the NFL. Right. And so, it's family pride, it's hometown pride, it's a lot of those kinds of things that come into play. And really the only teams that don't do it, I think, are those big traditional powers that have been, at the top of the heap for the past 50 years, people like USC and Alabama and Penn State. Some of those just traditional powers. And I think they just do it out of tradition because they've never done it before. But I think Prime makes a good point. And I don't agree with everything that Prime says, but I think he's on target with this one.
Yeah. Great stuff. Hey, what say you? State your case.
Now, me personally, I do think that they should have the name on the back of the jersey for all of the reasons that Shipp and Tim mentioned. But I do remember Coach Rob saying the reason we don't have names on the back of the jersey is because you're playing for the name on the front of the jersey. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Coach Rob was old school, and, you know, things do change. Things, matriculate and gravitate, you know, to bigger and better. So now in 2021, yeah, I do think they should have the names on the back of the jersey. But I also understand what Coach Rob was saying back in his day. And Coach Rob, for anybody who don't know, that's Coach Eddie Robinson from Grambling State University. But, he said you're not playing for the name on the back of the jersey. You're playing for the name on the front. Well, with NIL, name, image, and likeness, no, you're playing for the name on the back now. And like Shipp said, I mean, you know, when recruiters come, they want to be able to put your number with your name and all that. So in a sense, Coach Rob was kind of misguided. I won't say wrong, but just misguided. And because some guys are, like Tim said, everybody's not going to make it to the league, but some are. So you are playing for the name on the front of the jersey as well as the name on the back.
Yeah, I mean, great points, guys, for sure. I know for one, I'm all for it, man. I mean, I know that, you know, I've never played an organized football game that when I did not have my name on my back of my jersey. High school, didn't have it. I went to junior college before. I went to Temple University, didn't have it. Went to Temple University, didn't have it on the back of my back of my jersey. And I always wanted that. And then, you know, after I graduated from Temple University and you see, you know, they changed the uniforms, they bring in a new head coach, they changed, you know, the dynamic, trying to, you know, switch it up a little bit. They have, you know, they have the names on the back of the jerseys now. I'm like, oh, man. And I see, you know, P.J. Walker. I don't know if anybody knows, you know, who he is, a quarterback. He's an NFL. I forget what team he's on right now. I saw Walker on the back of his jersey, and that's all I ever wanted to see, man, is that Walker on the back of a Temple jersey, but with me in it, though. But, yeah, I'm definitely on board with this. You know, like Tim said, you know, I don't agree with everything that Prime says, but Coach Prime, excuse me, but I do agree with him on this one. So great point there, Tim. Yeah, I definitely think this is the way to go for the future, especially like you mentioned, E, that the NIL, the name, image, and likeness, has to be a big part of it as well. So good stuff there. Guys, what we're going to do is we're going to grab our last break here. Come back. I got about 10 minutes, then we're going to turn it over to Mr. E. Scott, and then we'll get into his entertainment segment. When we come back, I want to preview tomorrow night's game between the Giants and the Washington football team. Should be an interesting game. I know it's not a sexy, not a sexy game, but it's football nonetheless, second week, Thursday night. So I know a lot of us are going to be tuned in. Again, guys, you are tuning in to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. Eric Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
When I was in the NFL, I would use towels similar to dry towel, but they were made out of cotton, so they weren't as effective. So what happens is you have to change the towel probably 2 or 3 times a game. The absorption rate is greater than any cotton towel you ever see on the market. What I love about the dry towel is that it absorbs sweat and moisture so well that you don't really have to change it throughout the course of a game, not 3 or 4 like I used to use on the course of a game to keep everything dry and intact. Also, for you guys who wear mouthpieces, little pocket for your mouthpiece so you don't have to stick it in your helmet. You don't have to keep track of it. You know, in the course of a game, your hands are going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty. You don't want to put your mouthpiece in your hands a whole lot, so it's a nice little pocket. After the play, you put it there. Right before you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you grab it back. Bam, it's right there. I used to like to wipe my hands off so I wouldn't fumble the football, to make sure my grip was straight. This would have been perfect. Everything is sealed. Everything is right here on my right-hand side, easily accessible. I can grab it, pop it in. I'm done.
And we are back. And again, you are tuned into Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Before the break, we were talking college football and giving our thoughts and opinions. Have my State Your Case segment as well. So great, great stuff there, guys. Got about 7 minutes here, guys, and I just want to get your thoughts and opinions on tomorrow night's game between the New York Football Giants and the Washington football team. I'll start with you on this one. Give me your thoughts on this. How do you see this game going? And who has the edge?
Well, I'm glad it's a division matchup because, you know, in past years, sometimes that Thursday game be kind of, you know, hot garbage, but we watch it because it's football. I mean, even if you don't care about the Giants or care about the Washington football team, it's a divisional game, so I think, you know, that'll pique some interest. Right now, I'm going to say the Giants have a slight edge only because Fitzmagic went down Sunday, and then they got the beer boy, Heineken, or whatever you want to call him back there. And, I mean, he's good, but he's a little, you know, inexperienced. But that Washington defense is you know, not like a sprained ankle. It ain't nothing to play with. But right now, I'm going to give Daniel Bitcoin and the Giants a slight edge, but just ever so slightly. But, I mean, I think the game could go either way.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. And what say you?
Who?
Tim. I'm sorry, Tim, if I broke up, I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tim, what's that? Yeah, no, that's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking when we were having an earlier conversation about Dak throwing the ball 50 times, and I was thinking to myself, that ain't going to work against the Washington football team and their defensive line because it'll be open season. I think even with Heineke, a quarterback, that Washington team is going to be something to deal with. Now, of course, Saquon Barkley could change. He's a game changer mm-hmm. if he's healthy. But I'd have to go with the Washington football team.
Oh, wow. Interesting one over there. Chip, what say you?
Well, it's hard for me to pick this game, but I sent my picks in. I went with the Giants. But I have no confidence in Daniel Jones. I remember when he was picked, I was on a cruise ship, and it was about there was about 13 Giants fans watching the draft with me that day.
They didn't jump overboard, did they?
They almost did. They almost did. They almost did. They were so upset that the Giants picked Daniel Jones, and I'm starting to see why. I mean, why even back then I was like, why would they pick this guy? I can't remember who it was at the time, but they picked before him or whatever. But they were about to go nuts, and he hasn't shown me anything. I mean, he can run, and he better be glad because Chase Young is coming to get him tomorrow or whatever. But that Washington Redskins, I mean, I'm sorry, Washington football team defense is something to deal with. But at the same time, like Big E says, when you don't have a quarterback, you don't have an experienced quarterback. And I watched them play the Chargers Sunday, and they couldn't find anything on offense. Their offense is not producing any points or whatever. So I think the Giants' defensive line can, you know, even though they really disappointed me Sunday, but I think they'll come out with a different mindset, and hopefully they're trying to prove something to themselves as well as the Giants fans and say we can have a better game against mm-hmm. this guy because they're going to put – I think they'll put pressure on him and confuse him because of the inexperience. And that's why I'm going to get the nod to the Giants.
Okay, good stuff. Great analysis there, man. E, what say you?
Well, I went first.
Oh, I mean Tim. Sorry, Tim. Tim gave his own. Sorry, I apologize. So with that being said –
You drinking?
No, I'm looking at
him. They walk in the house. Tim already said he is 2B. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to see there was here, man, getting the system ready. But anyway, so with that being said, man, yeah, I agree, man. I think that, you know, I like the Washington football team here, man. I really do. You know, I just can't believe in Daniel Jones right now, as we call him, Daniel Bitcoin. He has so much talent around him, man. He has Galladay. He has the young kid out of Florida, Tavarius Tony. He has Evan Engram, and not to mention he has a running back in Saquon Barkley. I don't know, man. I want to believe in him, man. He's shown good signs in preseason, and he for the most part he's shown good signs in the in last week's game despite the loss. But yeah, but that defense, like you guys said, Chase Young is coming for him. That defensive line is coming for him. I don't know what we're going to get out of out of Heineke is for sure. We're going to see how that goes. But I think he's one of those serviceable quarterbacks where that offensive line, that defense, and that running game is going to allow him to not lose the game for the Washington football team. So with that being said, I'm going to go with the Washington football team to win this one, man, even though I got the Giants winning the winning the NFC East, man. So, I mean, that's hard for me to say right now because they started off rough, man, and I really thought they were going to give a better performance for sure. But listen, guys, that's all the time that I have for my segment. What we're going to do is we're going to turn it over to Mr. E. Scott and Mr. E. Scott's entertainment segment. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay on your toes. This is going to be some interesting stuff here. Mr. Moore, stay on with us, man. This is very fun. It's very fun if you, okay, if you haven't experienced it, all right? So good stuff. So, again, guys, you're tuned to Sports Talk with Kay Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Refuse to lose. Here's your ticket. Hear the drummer get wicked. Hey, what up, guys? So, what we got this week for you guys, because, you know, I went to the staff, and I told them how much y'all complained last week about the GED test, and, you know, because some of y'all didn't do so well. So, it's all sports this week. It's trivia. We got 18 of them on the board. Now, majority of them are for 1 point, but there are like, I think, four that are worth multiple points. So it's kind of like all about where you pick. Some of them are difficult, as always. Some of them are easy, as always. So we'll start at the top with UK Walk. Give me a number, 1 through 18. Hello? Hello?
My bad. Number one. Give me number one.
Okay, number one. Number one is worth 1 point. Who won the 1987 Heisman Trophy?
Good gracious. 1987 Heisman Trophy. Let me see. 88 was Barry Sanders. 87, was that Tim Brown? No. Is Tim Brown before? Oh, wow. 87. I'm going to say Tim Brown, final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself 1 point. It was Tim Brown, 1987. Tim, give me a number, 1 through 18. Well, 1 is taken, 2 through 18.
Let's try number 8.
Number 8 is worth 1 point. What NBA team was known as the Bad Boys?
Oh, wow.
The Detroit Pistons.
That is correct. Give Tim 1 point. Alvin, give me a number, 1 through 18.
He said Al. I think he might be.
Is Shift still?
Yeah, he's on. He's still on. Yeah, he might be on.
Yeah, 17. Sorry.
Okay, number 17, worth 4 points. Look at Shift picking him up. Shift, in wrestling, who were the original four horsemen? It's worth 4 points. And keep in mind, you guys can steal, but you got to get all four. You don't get partial credit. Shift. Who are the original four horsemen?
Wow. Man,
I don't know the fourth one.
Oh, man, I know the two brothers. Is that Terry Funk? Let me see.
I know it then,
Funk,
yeah.
Terry Funk Jr. Let me see. Terry Funk Jr., Dory Funk. In this wrestling, I remember the guy. God,
I think the original four.
Yeah, the original.
There's been a combination of, you know, quite a few dudes, but we're looking for the original four.
That's a good question. This is a good question.
Okay, I think I know the guys. Well, let me see. Was it Dylan? I know Mr. Dylan or something like that. It was two brothers. Their last name was Anderson. I can't. Do I need to know their first? Do I need to know their name? Their first name?
I'll give it to you if you want. Arn and Ole.
Okay, I know. Okay, Arn and Ole Anderson, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ric Flair definitely was one. I just can't remember who the other one was. Ole and Arn Anderson. Ric Flair, I know the head dude was Dylan, the guy Mr. Dylan or something like that, because Dusty Rhodes used to beat him up all the time.
You want to pass?
Hold on, wait. Give me one. Yep. Nah, I can't. I don't remember the last one. I don't remember the last one. I don't remember him.
K-Walk, you said
I can see his face, but I can't remember.
I think I know the original. The original, I don't think Ole and Arn, I don't think they were the original. I'm going to say Ric Flair, Terry Funk, Tully Blanchard, and
that's him.
Yeah, Arn. I think it was Arn Anderson. No, I don't know which one was the original because the one wasn't original. So I'm gonna say Arn Anderson. Final answer.
So who are your four?
Ric Flair, Terry Funk, Tully Blanchard, and Arn Anderson. Final answer.
Terry Funk was not one. It was Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, and Ric Flair. Those were the originals. Right. It was Tully Blanchard. Right. He was the original, not Terry Funk and Dory Funk. It was Tully Blanchard.
Do you want to gander against Tim?
No, I know who it was. Yeah, it was Tully, sure. Arn, and Ole, Ric Flair.
Yeah,
no. That is correct.
That wasn't the original Four Horsemen.
Yeah, I can remember Tully, but no, those the right ones. Oh, when you said Tully and you started saying the Funks, I was like, no, you're wrong. It's Tully. That's the one I couldn't remember.
Kelly, you can follow official protest with the staff. We've got to keep this moving. Go ahead and give Tim the 4 points because the staff said those are the original four.
We asked the questionable one before, though.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how I'll be drinking. But, you know. So,
yeah.
Tim. No, we went back to that with you, K-Walk.
Give me number two.
Number two, for 1 point, who won the 2004 NFL MVP?
Oh, my God. 2004.
Hey, man, y'all won the sports question. Y'all got to understand.
Yeah, no, you got it. No. I'm not arguing.
Y'all didn't pass the GED.
I won, sir.
2004. Oh, my God. Who was 2004? Was that, let me see, what we got here? 17 years ago. So I'm going to say Peyton Manning, final answer. I'm not sure, though.
That is correct. Give yourself 1 point.
Wow.
Tim, give me a number, 1 through 18.
13.
Number 13. Okay, this is for 3 points, Tim. What are the three races in horse racing that make up the triple crown?
God, you get the easy ones. If he doesn't know what I do.
Oh, well. The Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont.
That is correct. Award Tim 3 points. Look at Tim coming to play. Ship, give me a number.
Oh, man. Let me get 10.
Number 10. For 1 point, who won the 2008 NBA MVP?
Ooh. 2008. Ooh. Okay, let me go back. Let me get back to my age or whatever. 2-1.
I thought you were going to get back to Google.
Now, is that the finals or the MVP?
MVP for the season, not the finals.
Okay. Oh, that one. Oh eight. That's when the Lakers was tearing it up. I'll say Kobe.
Final
Kobe.
Answer?
It's not final. Yeah.
That is correct. Give Shift the point. It was the Black Mamba.
Wow. That's good.
K-Walk, give me a number.
Give me number 7.
Number 7 is worth 1 point. What was the nickname of the Los Angeles Lakers in the late 80s?
Time. Final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself 1 point. Tim, give me a number, 1 through 18.
Five.
We got number 5 is on the board. For 1 point, what NCAA school has produced the most NBA players?
Ooh, great question.
Bonus if you can get a two-point bonus if you can get exactly how many they done put in there. But, I mean, that's no.
Wow, that's a great question.
Has produced the most NBA players since the beginning of the league.
Yeah. Since they've been doing this, the staff went specific on that. They just want to know what school them put the most players in there.
Wow. North Carolina Tar Heels.
Final answer?
Yeah, I'm not certain, but yeah, let's go with that.
That is incorrect. Chip, K-Walk, either one of you guys know?
I didn't get an answer. I didn't get a question, Biggie. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What
go
school
ahead,
has produced the most NBA players?
I don't know. I got two. I got a guess. One guess. I got it's a guess, though.
Go ahead, K-Walk.
Oh, I thought I was waiting for Ship. Okay.
Y'all asked. Oh, this is my question?
This one just up for grabs.
Yeah.
Kentucky. Final answer.
That is correct. Give him one point.
Wow.
For a 2-point bonus, how many?
That's a good one. I know it's 100, at least 100. One 10. I say 110.
That is wrong. According to the staff, it's been 32. So that's 4 from 100.
I was going to say 23.
Let's see. Who was questioning with that? That was Tim questions. So, Chip,
Tim, yeah.
I'm on you for your question. Give me a number.
How many was it?
32.
That's got to be wrong. Remember the white boys? All the white boys went to the NBA was from Kentucky.
You can file a formal protest with the staff, but we got to keep it moving. give me a number 1 through 18.
Number three
is worth 1 point. What school has produced the most NFL players?
Whoa!
Wow. That's got to be
almost going to say Alabama. Oh, man. I'm going to say Alabama. I don't know. I'm going to say Alabama.
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Tim, K-Walk, either one of you guys want to gander again?
I know what it used to be, but... That's been 15, 20 years ago when I knew. It used to be Grambling, but that's been a while ago.
Huh? Did you say Grambling?
Yeah, you
are big.
No, I didn't say Grambling. That's Tim Smith.
No, he said Grambling. But I'm just – did the guy that's winning the game actually say that?
I know it.
It's true.
So, final answer, Tim?
Well, I don't think that's true now, but there was a time when it was true. I don't think it's true now. Let me say, Southern Cal.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
That, too, is incorrect. K-Walk, what do you got for me?
Yeah, I think this question was for – I think you're expecting Jay to be on, so I'm going to say Penn State University.
Final answer? That is also incorrect. The correct answer is Notre Dame, 520. Notre Dame. Yeah, Notre Dame to put 520 dudes in there. Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Dang.
So we've got
see, that goes
top.
Back to Kentucky. That goes back to Kentucky because back then Kentucky
white boys?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know it's more than 32.
Give me number four.
Number four is 1 point.
Dang, can always 1 point.
1999 NBA Finals, Spurs versus Knicks. Who won the series, and what was the game count?
It was the Spurs for sure. Oh my God, that's, oof. Four games won. 4-1. Final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself the point.
Sure.
That is correct. Let's see. Tim, we're on you. Give me a number.
Let's say 16.
Number 16. Woo, for 4 points. Tim, dang. See, Tim don't beat y'all because he getting a 4-point one. And they
I know,
and
right?
And they're relatively easy, too. Tim, in golf, what are the four majors?
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm not a big golf fan. I would say the Masters. The U.S. Open, British Open, and oh boy, I don't know.
I'm keeping my mouth shut because I've been giving too many answers.
I know that one.
Yeah.
The Bing Crosby, I don't know.
Final answer.
Yeah,
the Bing Crosby. I know it, but I know it, but Ship. Yeah, I know the answer.
That's U.S.
Ship answer first.
The U.S. Open, the Masters, the British Open, and the PGA Championship.
PGA.
That is correct. Award Ship 4 points. I would have also for the British Open. I would have accepted the Open Championship because that's what they call it now. But you get credit for British.
Yeah, it's
so Ship. It's on you. Give me a number. Give me 11. Number 11 for 1 point. Where was the 1981 Major League All-Star Game played? What city?
Ooh.
Did
you say 81?
Hey, the staff got to make that work for these. Yeah, the staff got to make that work for some of them.
The only way you work for that is Google it, and I'm not cheating, so man pass.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I
definitely don't know that.
I'm gonna guess. I don't know. I'm not gonna go out without a fight. St. Louis. Final answer. I don't know.
That is incorrect. Tim, you want to give a guess?
Cleveland.
That is correct.
What?
You're Tim. 1 point. Yes. It was a Tim out here asked. Tim out here asking Alexa.
Was that the game where Mount Vesuvius. That's where it was.
Now, Pete Rose ran over Ray Fosse in that game. Was that the game?
Hey, man, come on, dog. The staff don't do all that. I'll ask them. I mean, later on tonight.
I think that's the game when he messed up his career.
None of that is relevant to this game, Tim. Say no. Chip. Give me a number.
No, I just did. That was my question.
Oh, okay, my bad. K-Walk, back to the top.
Hey, you been drinking?
Yeah.
Had to get you back for that, bro. Give me number six.
Number six. Who leads the Saints-Tampa series all time?
Saints. Oh, wow. So this is a 50-50 guess. Is that two? So Saints-Tampa, you said?
Who leads the series all time?
Oh, my God. It sounds like a trick question, man, because you're a Saints guy, man. I'm going to say Saints, final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself 1 point. For a 5-point bonus, can you give me the numbers? Like how many Saints, how many Tampa?
Wow. How many seasons? Wow. 32, 31. Okay, that's what I had. Okay, you're going to give me that. Go ahead.
They played a total of 59 times.
Okay, so my math wouldn't have been right if I went to the answer that I originally was going to go with. 59 times. You said 59 times?
Yeah.
All right. So let's math would tell me that Saints, obviously, I'm going to go 30-29. Final answer.
Unfortunately, that's incorrect. It's 37-22 Saints. Who that? Tim, give me a number. Let's see. What we got left, Tim? We got number 9. We got number 12, 14, 15, and 18.
Let's go with 18.
Number 18 for 1 point. The 1994 NBA Finals, Rockets versus Knicks. Who won game 4? In that series.
Really?
OJ. Hey, man, that's what I was just about to say. That's when OJ was out here being accused of killing him.
Oh, man, that was the OJ series. I remember that. Game 4. Wow.
Yes.
I'm going to say the Knicks.
Final answer?
Yeah, that's my final answer, Knicks.
That is correct. Award him 1 point, K-Wall. For 5 bonus points, can you give me the final score?
Oh, what?
I'm going to take that as a no.
I don't know.
I'll guess.
Well, the bonus points are kind of coming because, like, this is like a 50-50 question. So the bonus points are only counted for the person who get it. But, I mean,
okay.
You can go ahead and guess. Go ahead.
Nah. If it means nothing, then I don't need to answer.
Chip, we on you. We got number 9, we got 12, we got 14 and 15.
12.
Number 12 is 1 point. Who won the 2011 NBA All-Star Game?
Wow.
Who won it?
Yes.
I'll say the West.
That is correct. That's correct. Give Chip 1 point. For 5 bonus points, do you know the final score?
No. 2,000 to
1,000.
Okay, let's keep it moving. Back to the top. K-Walk, we got 14, 15,
yeah.
And 9.
Give me 9.
Number 9. Who won the 1977 World Series?
Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, I know that one. I know that.
1977. This is a stupid guess. I'm just going to go with my Yankees. Yankees, final answer.
That is correct. Son of Sam.
Yep. I remember that one.
Reggie Jackson, Mr. October. Tim,
yes.
We got 2 left, 14 and 15.
Let's go 15.
Number 15 for 4 points.
Damn.
What are the 4 majors in tennis?
Got both of them.
Oh, man.
I know that.
Wimbledon, the U.S. Open,
I know it.
Yeah, I do too, but you answered first.
What is Roland Garros?
Y'all just count him out?
The French Open?
That's in the form of a question, sir. I need an answer.
Okay. let's say the British. Let's say Wimbledon. It's Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, the French Open, and I don't know the fourth.
Chip, go ahead and give me our 4.
All of them, he said, it's Australia Open.
Australia.
That is correct. Award Chip the 4 points. K-Walk, the very last one, number 14. Unfortunately, it's only worth one point.
Yeah. So you know what? So with that being said, right now Chip leads by 1. So I'm a bow out on this one because I'm down too much. So it's close between Chip and Tim. So however you want to decide this, E, it's up to you, brother. You want to give it to Tim?
Okay,
you want to give it to Chip? You know, whoever buzzed first. I don't know how you want to do that.
Well, I mean, it's your question, so you go ahead and award it to one of them. Since it's your question,
you know what? I'll give it to Tim to see if we can go into overtime with this because Tim is down 1 and right now. So I'll give it to Tim. See what we can make it interesting.
Tim, how old was Tiger Woods when he won his first green jacket?
Oh, wow.
Wow. 23.
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Chip. Looks like you done won 2 weeks in a row. But for giggles, for kicks and giggles, what do you know how Tiger was when he won his first green jacket?
The first that when I was legally able to drink me a real MD 2021.
That is correct. K-Walk, cue the music.
Listen, DJ
Khaled,
yeah.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. and they stay there, and they stay there, and they stay there.
So, Ship, you took it home 2 weeks in a row, and this time you didn't even have to wreck your car to do it. K-Walk, give me a final count.
Yes, sir. Ship ended it with 12. Tim had 10, and I pulled up the rear with 6. So, good stuff there.
Well, Tim got all the big questions.
Yeah, just, but that
know,
last one,
he,
yeah,
he
the
know,
last one he didn't get.
Three
yeah.
out of four.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but
that's
stumbled on golf and tennis.
Yeah, the tennis one got him. Yeah, the tennis one got him. Yeah, so.
Okay. I'll let the staff know that you guys got a couple formal protests that y'all will be filing. But, I mean, Chip won, so he don't need to file his. And K-Walk, if you file yours and get the points.
Yeah, it don't even matter.
So
it don't even matter.
I just want to say thank you all for playing my music before we start hearing this chin stuff y'all throwing out. Thank you for throwing my music out there first. Because I don't want to hear all this la-la-la stuff. It's five-bar music y'all talking about right now. Play the music, baby.
All right, guys. That's all I got for you this week. Okay, well, it looks like we got about, I don't know, about 5 minutes left. Go ahead and bring us on home.
Yeah, good stuff there, guys, man. Definitely as entertaining as always. E, appreciate that, man, and especially making it a sports one. I wish I could have got the some of those four-point ones. But, Tim, thank you so much for staying on for the entire show and participating in that. And for our new listeners, if you haven't heard, this is what we do every week. You know, we make it entertaining as possible. And I always want to leave you guys, you know, with this thing is that we have to do what we have to do so we can do what we want to do. So from Mr. E. Scott, I am K. Walk right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. God willing, we will talk to you next week.
When you love someone, it's